If you're one of the millions of Canadians who experience depression, anxiety, or some other form of mental illness, there's a free course that can help. The Wellness Recovery Action Plan is an evidence-based program that works. It's developed and facilitated by peers who have experienced their own mental health challenges and have used RAP to recover and maintain long-term stability. It's based on the key concepts of hope, personal responsibility, education, self-advocacy, and support. For more information about the free RAP groups hosted by Vancouver Coastal Health, visit their peer-led website, spotlightonmentalhealth.com. This is CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Hello and welcome to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and this is CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on the University of British Columbia campus. Or you might also be listening online at CITR.ca, CosmicDimensions.com, EmpowerRadio.com, on the Co-Creator Network, or you might be watching or listening to this on my YouTube channel, YouTube.com/spiritualshow. Wherever in the world you're listening from, thank you so much for joining us today. And today, the discussion is about Mental Health Week, because today is the first day of Mental Health Week here in Canada. And we have Jen from Luminate Wellness. She is Jen Cusick. She is the founder of Luminate Wellness, and she has been working in mental health for more than 20 years, and she actually brought a program called RAP, which is Wellness Recovery Action Plan, to British Columbia. So welcome to the show, Jen.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
So, Jen, I actually learned that it was Mental Health Week this week from you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, would you share a little bit about your journey in mental health, in working in mental health, and how you came to know about RAP?
Okay. So, it's a long story, but I'll try to, like, distill it down to the important parts. So, for me, I started working. I originally actually wanted to go into film. That was my dream when I was young, and it didn't, like, pan out that way, which, you know, sometimes interesting things end up happening, and we get put in a different path, and it ends up being the path that we were meant to be anyway, so it's worked out for me, but I guess, like, when I was younger, I just struggled a lot with my emotions and feelings and, you know, just feeling alone and isolated a lot, especially, like, in my teen years. There was some really difficult times, and I remember one time specific that I was driving, and I just was like, well, I wasn't driving, my mom was driving, and I was like in the car looking out the window and thinking there's something like not right with what was going on with me, but I didn't have a grid for it at that point. So I was like, you know, maybe there's something physically wrong with me, because that's the only, I didn't understand mental health stuff at all at that point. I think I was about 15. And then, you know, throughout my life, there were, you know, ups and downs, but I always tended to head towards, you know, those dark kind of feelings and those dark kind of moments. And then I was really thankful that throughout different periods of my life, I was able to, like, really connect with some amazing people. And it's like, you know, like, as human beings, we need that connection, and the connection piece, and, you know, feeling a part of a community can really start to support us in our overall mental health. So I was able to experience some really good times in there. And, you know, in and out of those moments when I would have my more darker times, I remember just, you know, getting out of the house sometimes was difficult, and just, you know, having that desire to kind of move and motivate myself was hard. And I found that during those times, sometimes the things that really meant the most to me was like things like music. Music was big. I was really into music. Ironically, during the early 90s, I was into, you know, kind of the grunge and Nine Inch Nails kind of thing, which didn't help my moves very much. But it was, you know, it was one of those things that kind of helped me to have something outside of myself to appreciate. I also loved art and things like that. So those things were things that would give me hope when I was feeling really dark. And I ended up working in mental health, which was kind of strange because sometimes I felt like what am I doing? You know, this is so hard. I can barely get myself together, and now I'm in this field supporting other people. But through it, I was able to like learn some amazing tools that I was able to apply to my own life, and it really supported me to learn about the important things of taking care of myself. And sometimes, you know, those of us who are in roles where we can be supporting other people, it can be hard to, like, take that time to take care of ourselves. So I learned the importance of self-care. And then I had a few, like, transformative moments where I was like, wait a minute, I need to change things. I need to, like, get myself out of this state that I was in by making some different choices and taking control of my health and making different choices around my health. And I really was able to start seeing good things start to happen for me. And then in about 97, I believe it was, or 98, I started to manage a program in the area that I work in, and it's a peer support program, and it was one of the first programs of this nature in the Lower Mainland area. And it's really about, you know, people who've struggled with mental health stuff and have gotten to a place where they have learned some important skills or have learned to just deal with the difficulties that they are facing. Not that life is always ever perfect, because we always have ebbs and flows and ups and downs, but they choose to be a mentor to someone else who maybe isn't quite as far along in their journey. So I loved the program, and I it was just such a gift for me to be a part of that, and to I was able to learn so much about my own mental health and my own self-care through that, and learning how to make better choices and things. And then I was able to support the development of the program within the area. I'm like out towards the east, so the Fraser Valley area, and seeing the growth of the program and the importance of a program like that, where people who receive services, become professionals within the field, and support other people. It was life changing. I see the world differently because of that now. Like, I just really think that all of us are on a continuum with our mental health, and we learn so much through our experiences. And to be able to share that, and to be able to share our stories in a way that empowers other people is just such a gift. It's a gift to everyone. So I was so happy to be a part of that program. And then in 2002, I was able to, my boss at the time, he was very, he was a visionary. It was really interesting because he's so much different than me. He was very, you know, a little bit more, you know, by the book, like, you know, into like kind of a linear thinker, and I'm kind of like broad, all over the place, visionary type of person. But there was parts of his personality and mine that just really had a lot of synergy, and he was very excited about trying to move into new areas. So he heard about this program in Phoenix, Arizona, that was doing amazing things with peer support. As far as they had like 400 employees, and they were doing some pretty cutting edge work in the field. And here we were still pretty, it was still pretty new and not really recognized very well by the system. Like, that's kind of a whole story in and of itself, but it took time to like get attention and to get people to realize that it was a viable, important program and service that really provided hope for people. So we were still struggling with you know, the program being noticed and valued and honored kind of thing. So he's like, why don't you go? Go fly down, take a couple people with you and see what they're doing and see if there's something we can replicate here. And I was like, okay, I'll go to Phoenix in February. That's kind of cool. So we went down, and I was able to see a whole bunch of different programs that they offered. And one of the programs that they offered was WRAP. And WRAP stands for Wellness Recovery Action Plan. And it's a program about really looking at overall, our overall health, taking control of our health rather than looking at other people to kind of fix things for us. It's like it's putting ourselves in the driver's seat of our lives and learning how to make really good choices around our self-care and around our thinking and stuff like that. So it's a very amazing program. So I was able to sit in on a class, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. And there was other things that were also quite amazing, but they were specific to the like the population there and, mm-hmm. and things. So on my last day, I felt, you know, I felt inspired, empowered, and all those things. But I also felt overwhelmed. I'm like, we're just this tiny little program, and like in Canada, we weren't really doing a lot as far as like it was really like square one. You know, where we were, like, as far as, you know, being looked at as a viable kind of program. So I felt overwhelmed by the whole thing. And I'm like, what, if I was to go home today, which I was going home today, what should I focus on? Like, what is the best thing that would give our, the people we serve the best results? What should I focus on? And everyone I asked said WRAP, by far WRAP. Bring WRAP to your area. So I was like, okay, I'll work on that. So I got home, and there was a small group of us, like three people, four people at the very beginning, and we WRAP was actually kind of new at that point too. I think it only started in about 97 or 98. So it was only a few years old itself. So the systems weren't in place, and if they were, I didn't know about them very well. So there's a process to becoming a WRAP facilitator, and I can talk about that later.
Cool.
If it matters. But I didn't know about that process, so I'm like, I'm just going to do it. So I bought books, and I studied, and we just started doing groups. And eventually, you know, it started getting noticed, and people are like, wow, people are taking these workshops, and it's a workshop format. They're taking these workshops, and they're benefiting from it. They're learning from it, and people are starting to feel more hopeful and experiencing better periods of wellness. This is good. So then we started getting other people interested, and then it spread to different areas. People started doing it in Vancouver and different places around BC, and it moved to Edmonton. But before that happened, I ended up getting trained properly. We had a conference here in 2005 and had the executive director of at the time of the Copeland Center, who oversees the program, came and supported us in, you know, developing the program to the place it is now. So anyway, that's how it started. And, you know, The thing that stands out for me, and actually how WRAP even started in the first place, is it's about sometimes just one or two people really just like figuring out that there's a need for something and working really hard to like bring it to wherever, whatever the place is. And if people catch on, it can become a movement. And now rap in the Lower Mainland, in BC, in Western Canada is a movement. And there's so many people involved. Like, it's certainly not me now. There's so many people that have, like, that have just benefited from the program and have really been pioneers of rap. There's heaps of people I could mention, but...
Awesome. Well, it's already time for a break. So,
oh, my goodness. We talk a lot. Yeah.
We are speaking right now with Jen Cusick. She is the founder of Luminate Wellness, and she teaches RAP, which is what she's been talking about, the Wellness Recovery Action Plan. She also teaches other facilitators on how to facilitate RAP workshops. This is Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment.
Don't miss Beth Ditto, frontwoman of indie rock band Gossip, on March 28th at the Imperial. Ditto will be performing tracks from her debut solo album, Fake Sugar, with special guest Shun. Tickets are available now at livenation.com.
In the words of Henry David Thoreau, it's not what you look at that matters, it's what you see. Multicultural Ministries is a national, cross-Canada, nonprofit organization that runs temple tours and gives unique perspectives into different religions from around the world, including Buddhism, Sikhism, and Islam. To find out more about them, the tours they offer, or to book one, please visit templetour.weebly.com.
Welcome back to Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and right now we're speaking with Jen Cusick from Luminate Wellness. You can find her at luminatewellness.com. So, Jen, you were talking about RAP, which is the Wellness Recovery Action Plan, and you also mentioned how it's a peer-led program. So can you tell us a little bit about the importance or what you've seen in why peer-based programs are so effective?
I guess, you know, if you know how it is when you're talking about something that's happening in your life, like say you're driving and you get, you know, your car breaks down and you end up with this $1,000 bill and it's so stressful. I mean, this is a silly example, but it kind of illustrates the point a little bit. So, and then you happen to be talking to someone and you're kind of venting about, you know, this car thing, this car issue that's going on. And they're like, oh, my goodness, that the exact same thing just happened to me. And I had this huge bill, and it's so stressful, and it's affecting all these other things. And then right away you have that connection. You're like, whoa, this person gets it. This person understands what I'm going through. Basically, that's the whole premise. Is like, you know, sometimes when people haven't gone through something specific, similar. Like, not that we all have our different experiences, so no two experiences are exactly the same. But generally, when people have gone through something similar, there's this, right away, this connection that happens that you go, wow, I'm not alone. Someone else gets this. Someone else understands, you know, the challenges I'm facing. So that's, I think, what the most important piece of peer-based programs is. It's like that idea that we're not alone and the inspiration that can come from it, that, you know, when you're talking to someone who's been through something similar, because like I said, no two experiences are the same, and have come through it, there's something inspiring and hopeful about that. So that's, that's my take on that.
Jen, that reminds me of a story I heard recently about a man who was very badly burned, and he was in the hospital, and he was asking the, this is a little bit graphic, so if you're squeamish, maybe close your ears, but the nurses were taking the bandages off, and they would take them off quickly because, you know, normally they say rip a Band-Aid off, get it over with, mm-hmm. but he was begging them, please just do it slowly, because the amount of pain with a burn is like so much more intense than just ripping a Band-Aid off your skin. And it wasn't until years later that they actually did more research and discovered that the way that pain is experienced is not the same. Like getting the more intense the pain is, like making it fast is not going to make that experience any better. But the point I'm getting to is that because the nurses, they really thought they were doing the right thing, helping him. But they didn't have the experience he was going through, so they had no idea. They were just like, no, we know what's best. But he was saying, no, please, yeah. I know what feels better for me. You're not listening.
Yeah, totally. That is a really great example, because there's so many things that when we learn about something just through a book or through even like watching someone else, it's just a different type of knowledge and a different type of awareness than when we've gone through something specifically ourselves. And I feel like anything could have like a powerful peer program, like, you know, someone who's dealt with like burns, like that would be fantastic, or someone who has dealt with cancer, like to be paired up with someone who's also going through the same thing or has gone through it, like how, like to just have someone to talk to that understands what it feels like to go through certain things and understands the feelings around it, is so powerful. It's so powerful and comforting in a way. So I feel like that is like the piece that's so unique. And with RAP, we, like anyone can be a facilitator as long as they harness that piece. So whether or not someone has had like a life experience that's the same as other people, all of us generally have had really rough spots. So it's about talking about those things from a personal perspective versus like the whole advice thing. I really struggle with that. The whole idea that, you know, you need to do this because it's proven that it works. Like that whole thing is not helpful for people. When people stand up and start giving advice, it's not helpful. Whereas when it comes from, like, this is my story and this is what worked for me, there's something so much more empowering about that.
And Jen, we could go on for hours talking about that whole advice giving and the desire, the urge to give advice and rejecting it all. But I'm wondering if we can touch on the five keys, because I just felt like right now with Mental Health Week, I think that, and you also teach RAP to businesses, so this is not necessarily just for people who've had bouts of depression or schizophrenia or anything like that. This is also a way to keep yourself well.
Yes. It's a very powerful way to live. I kind of describe RAP as like a way for people to learn mindful living, who maybe haven't had the experience to be able to learn that. So it's a way to kind of learn those skills. And a lot of us live life kind of on autopilot, you know, where we just kind of do life and we get overwhelmed, we get stressed. And then as we get overwhelmed and stressed, we all know that that leads to chronic health problems, whether it's physical or mental health issues. So RAP can be really super helpful at preventing those kind of problems from coming. I was able to do it with train a bunch of teens to be able to facilitate this, and it was so awesome to be a part of that. And the workplace definitely needs it, because we all know that I think it's 1 in 5 people experience a mental health issue, and that's like people who have come forward and asked for help, so it's probably even higher than that. So it's all over the place, and it's definitely in the workplace, and more people are taking time off work because of mental health issues. So the whole program is based on 5 key concepts of wellness and recovery. And those 5 things are hope. Hope is the very first one, and it's basically, you know, hope is different for someone who can't get out of bed in the morning versus someone who's out there kind of living their dream, right? So whatever hope is for you that will get you enough motivation to, like, get out of bed, that's what hope is. And it can be anything. It can be, like, the hope that you get just from reading an inspiring book or watching a movie or spending time with kids or hearing laughter. Those kinds of things can be hope for people. And sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's a cup of coffee. And sometimes it's something really big, like, you know, the dream that you'll go to school and get your dream job. So it can be anything. So hope is the kind of jumping off point. I kind of think of it, the idea that you can live a life that you want, you know. So it's the jumping off point. It's the spark. And then from there, the next key concept is personal responsibility. And that is the awareness that, you know, no matter what has happened to me, no matter what has brought me to this place, and lots of times a lot of really bad things happen to us that are so out of our power, they're out of our control. There's a certain amount of grief and loss that comes with that. And it's okay to be there for a period of time. But when we stay stuck there, we stay stuck, you know. And so personal responsibility is about realizing that I'm the expert on myself and I'm the one that can choose something different for myself. So I can get back in the driver's seat of my life. And even though, you know, I may not have chosen to be in this place that I'm at, I'm the only one that can change it. I'm the only one that can make different choices to get myself out of this. And it's so powerful when we realize that. So it's about just empowering ourselves, you know, and just realizing that we have the ability to choose a different response to things that have come our way.
Jen, before you move on to the next one, mm-hmm. is there anything else you want to say about personal responsibility?
I just think it's, sometimes people hear the word responsibility and they go, whoa, I've got too much responsibility on my plate already. And that's not the purpose of that. It's not about taking on more responsibility. It's about realizing that we are the key to changing our life. So it's like giving up the blame game and going, you know what, here I am. I can make different choices and I can see things start to happen for me. So it's about sometimes saying no. It's sometimes saying, you know, I'm looking at my life and my situation and I need to make some different choices and say no to things so that I can say yes to other things that are better for me.
Thank you.
Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I wanted to ask about personal responsibility because mm-hmm. I think that that's one of the things in RAP is acceptance of where everyone is at.
Yeah.
And sometimes I know for myself, sometimes it can be a challenge to see someone who is refusing or unable to take personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I'm wondering, as a RAP facilitator and as a facilitator who trains facilitators,
mm-hmm.
how do you manage, 'cause I'm sure, I mean, we're all human.
Yes.
The urge and that feeling must come up from time to time. How do you deal with that, allowing people to be where they're at?
This we could talk about for days. It's so huge and it's so big. It's really about sitting with the discomfort of knowing that all change has to come from within. So I can talk till I'm blue in the face to someone about, you know, if you eat Fruit Loops every day and McDonald's, you're going to feel like crap. You know, if I keep saying that to someone, I know for myself when I get people giving me advice, unless I've asked for it and elicited advice from someone, that's different. That's kind of different. But if someone gives me their advice, it actually, there's like all of us have this kind of rebel in us. So we kind of go, forget it. I'm just going to do my own thing. I'm not listening to you. So personal responsibility is about us sitting back and just providing, you know, the right climate through providing things like RAP that are educational groups like that without inserting our need to change someone. So to be able to say, to just let go of that need to make a change, which is very, very, very hard to do. It is very hard to do. But I think once we understand that no one, I can tell people what to do, but unless someone feels empowered to make a change themselves, it's not gonna make any difference. So I personally have changed my language around how I even, I don't use advice type of language. I speak from a me perspective, so that like I talk about how things have worked for me, and then if someone wants to glean something from that, that's their choice. But I don't. Is that kind of what you're? What you're saying?
Yeah, because I notice, I mean, I have the YouTube channel, and I think it's so common for people who have empathy and people who care. We think that, like those nurses who were ripping the Band-Aids off, they think that they're doing the right thing, and it can be so easy to say, well, this is what, I mean, we're outside the situation, so it's easy to look at the situation and go, like almost like you're playing a chessboard and go, oh, well, if you just moved this here, everything would be fixed. But it's way different when you're living that.
Yes, exactly, exactly. There is a book that I highly recommend called A Hidden Wholeness by Parker J. Palmer. And the tagline in there is about no fixing, no saving, no setting each other straight. So sometimes we have to look at our own what's our own agenda in giving advice to? Is it because we want to see a change in someone else so that we feel good about ourselves? Or is it that we don't want to take responsibility for someone else's, situation, so we just kind of tell them what to do and then we can kind of leave? Or, so he talks about creating open spaces where people can find their own inner teacher. And I love that book. It's been so huge, fundamental in my personal philosophy. So we have to learn to sit with our own discomfort of wanting to fix something. I have an amazing story that I can share.
Cool. Can There's we hold that for 1 second?
Okay, okay.
We'll go to a break and then we'll bring the story back. So we are speaking right now with Jen Cusick. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. And we're with Jen Cusick from Luminate Wellness. We're talking about RAP, which is the Wellness Action Recovery Plan. And we're right in the middle of the 5 key concepts that RAP is based on. And the first two we've just covered are hope and personal responsibility. We'll be back with more Synchronicity in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Ashkan.
And I'm Nathan.
And we're residents from Orchard Commons working on our student-run production of the musical Rent.
Rent follows the story of a group of young and hopeful artists and musicians in New York City who are under the shadow of HIV and AIDS.
The show explores issues such as race, queer identities, substance reliance, and poverty, while shining light on friendship, compassion, and love.
The show opens the weekend of March 23rd. Tickets are $10, and more information can be found on our Facebook event page, Orchard Commons Presents Rent.
Also, look out for our booths around campus for ticket sales.
This is a repeat episode. Please be advised, references to date and time may not be applicable at this time. Enjoy the show.
So we were talking about personal responsibility and that urge that so many of us have to give advice and how important it is for us to sit with that discomfort. And you were just going to tell us a story about that.
Yeah. So one of the things that I value the most about my work is that I have opportunity to hear so many amazing stories. And this story is someone who I haven't really met personally, but she has a very, very powerful story. And her name is Pat Deegan. And she is someone who is a pretty major leader in the recovery movement in the U.S. And her story is she lived in a group home, and she was diagnosed with schizophrenia. And most of us in the general population don't understand schizophrenia very well. And what we do understand about it is very, very negative. And when we hear something about someone having schizophrenia in general, the general population just kind of writes them off and said, okay, well, that's that. It's not the case. I know a lot of people who have that diagnosis and are able to have really full, fulfilling lives. So that was her diagnosis. And she was living in a group home and was in a really bad state, basically, for a long time. So she would smoke and drink coffee and Coke and things like that, and that's all she did, and never wanted to leave the house. And she had an amazing team of people supporting her, and they invited her to go out with them every day. So they would go on, like, shopping trips or go out or do something fun every day, and every day they would go in and ask her if she wanted to come. Every day she said no. Every day she said no. And this went on for a long time. And she speaks about this when she speaks now. Eventually she went out and she started to experience. That was kind of the key that helped her to get moving and motivated. And now, if you fast forward to now, she has a PhD in psychology. And she is a leader in the movement in the U.S. She teaches people. She speaks all over the world. She is a change agent, big time. So I think it's important. I just, like, wanted to acknowledge the staff, like, in the home that she was working in, that they just tirelessly asked her. They invited her. They were invitational in asking her if she wanted to participate. And they, when she said no, they didn't force her. They didn't coerce her. They just kind of let her be and kept inviting until she was personally ready to join. So I think there's something we can learn about that, is like to create the invitation and to create like a space where people can feel comfortable showing up. But if they say no, we need to respect that, and we need to respect that, you know, and have hope. We have to hold hope for other people when they don't have hope for themselves. And that can be so powerful. So I find that story so inspiring that, you know, those people were, I mean, she did a ton of work herself, and then also they provided the environment where she was able to eventually, you know, come out of her shell and come out of her this world, this bubble that she had created for herself, because they just invited her.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I totally want to give away more of the five key concepts, because there were so many of them in that story.
Sure. I know.
Are you ready to go to the next, the third key concept?
Yeah, so the third key concept is education. And education is broad. It's just about learning that we are creatures that need to learn, that we need to be growing. It's about growth and expansion. And what is it that I want to learn about? How do I want to learn about who I am and how I fit in the world? And one thing that's powerful to me about that word, often we think that it's about, you know, going to school and taking classes. And education is so much broader than that. And I'm someone who likes to always find out the why. And I decided to look up the etymology of the word education, and it actually means, like, the original, I think it's Latin, etymology of the word is to bring forth that which is within. So education is so broad, and it's about figuring out who am I, what makes me tick, and how do I get to know this person, you know, that is me. And it's so powerful, I think.
Awesome. And that's part of taking personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Is now, okay, now that I see that I am capable of taking charge of my own wellness, how do I go about that?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah.
And so what's the next one?
The next one is self-advocacy. Is that right?
Yeah, self-advocacy.
Self-advocacy. And that is about figuring out what our needs are and learning how to go for it. And I explain when I do rap, it could be something as simple as you know, advocating for ourselves when we order food at a restaurant that, you know, doesn't come back the way that we want it? Do we just eat it and complain in our minds or with the people we're sitting at, eating dinner with the whole time? Or do we actually say, you know, this isn't quite the way I wanted it, and send it back? So it can be something as simple as that or as big as advocating for ourselves with our doctors, with our employers, with family members. So it's about figuring out what my rights are, and also understanding the personal responsibility in that is huge. So if I have a right to say no to things that don't light me up, then I have to respect that someone else also has that right. So I can't be annoyed if someone says no to me, you know. So that's an important piece of the whole puzzle. But, yeah, so self-advocacy is just learning how to figure out how to get what we need.
Awesome.
Do you have anything to add about that?
Well, I really like the point that you brought up about if we're having self-advocacy, then we also need to respect. I mean, we can feel how we feel about it,
mm-hmm.
but respecting other people and what they're choosing for themselves, mm-hmm. again, almost comes back to that self-responsibility and respecting that. I mean, we all have our own personal responsibility,
mm-hmm.
and we all have our own personal needs. And if we want our needs to be respected and our boundaries to be respected,
yes.
then part of that is also paying the same respect to other people.
Yes, yes. I think that is so huge. Yep. Thank you.
And what's the last key?
And then the last key concept is support. And I could talk about this. I'm actually thinking of doing a webinar just on support and community. It's so big, especially right now. So the idea of support is that we all need connection. We're built, we're made to live in community. We're made to need support from others. But we live in a society nowadays that is so isolated. We tend to, you know, we live in these neighborhoods, and how many of us have never met our neighbors, you know? And it's quite different than life was like 50 or 100 years ago. So we stay kind of in our little silos, and we, you know, it's easy to get away with banking online. You do your grocery shopping online. You order food. You know, a person can kind of stay fairly isolated. but we know that we get lit up when we're around people, when we create a connection with people, when we have that energy exchange that happens when we're with other people. It's so powerful and so huge. But how do we build that? How do we start to see that connection and that support to happen when we live in this culture that really doesn't encourage support and connection? So when we talk about that in our rap groups, we kind of brainstorm, how can we build connection? How can we, you know, sit with the discomfort of maybe, like, starting up a conversation with a stranger? You know what I mean? Like, it's about, you know, pushing ourselves a little bit, and also the importance of mutual support. So knowing that it's not just all about everyone else supporting me, but how am I going to support and give back to my community? So it's so, so important, like, that need that for that support and connection. And being a part of the community is so, so huge. And we hear so many stories about people who, like that story I told you, about Pat Deegan, like that support system was huge for her in being able to, come to a place of wellness and health.
And she, I was thinking of that story when you were sharing that about support, because she, at the time when she was being invited, she wasn't able to give support. She wasn't supporting
mm-hmm.
herself.
Mm-hmm.
But through that continuous and ongoing non-judgmental and accepting
yeah.
support, now she's able to help so many other people.
Yes, so huge. Like, the amount of people she's affected in her life is phenomenal. And yeah, so I think sometimes when we're supporting others, you know, it can feel really one way. But over time, like, and just to I think it kind of, oh man, we could talk seriously talk about this for a long time. But just understanding, you know, the piece about grace and just like understanding love, like the love and connection for other people, and having kind of a selfless attitude in it is really important when we're supporting others. And it can just have huge, huge effects. And then once we're at a place when we're able to give back, to be able to give back in that same way is so huge. Well, you know, and it can happen so simply. Like, a lot of us have created great connections just, you know, at work or through volunteering, through different things like that, community groups. And I think one of the ways I encourage people to just kind of get in the practice is to start just having a conversation with someone in the lineup at the grocery store, or getting used to, you know, breaking out of our shell a little bit and having that interaction with someone. It kind of starts to warm us up to be able to accept and look for and grow other types of supports.
And I just want to, yeah, I totally love the talking to people in the lineup and stuff. And I also want to acknowledge, because I've gone through this myself, and I've been, the last couple of weeks, my mental health has not been very strong. I've been experiencing tons of anxiety and all of that. And now I'm taking the week off as much as I can. I've limited my responsibilities so I have some time to recover. But, you know, I just want to acknowledge how challenging and what a barrier it can be to overcome when you're not feeling well to talk to somebody.
Yeah, yeah, it is. That is really huge. And I think it's like baby steps, you know, it's like we do little things at a time, you know, and eventually it starts to compound. But yeah, that's a really important point. I know when I was at my worst, just like getting out of the house was hard enough, you know, but as we like kind of, I think the main thing is to know and to just be self-aware and to know when it's time to just sit back and take care of ourselves and like take that sacred space and just like, know when to say no, and then to know when it's okay to push ourselves a little bit. And it requires a lot of learning and growing and self-awareness to know the difference between the two. I know for myself there are times when it's time I need to just step back and keep myself kind of in this safe space. And then, you know, I can start to tell when that is not healthy anymore for me, and when I need to, even though I don't want to, when I need to push myself a little bit more and connect with someone, even though I feel like all I want to do is stay home. But that takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of practice to figure out, you know, when something is right and when it's not right anymore.
Yeah, yesterday I was on my way to work and I was feeling so low and I'd barely slept and contemplating quitting my job, all of these things. And I've had enough experience with wellness to know when I'm not practicing wellness. But that momentum, when you're in that, when I'm in that negative place, even being aware of, oh, look what I'm doing to myself, it's almost like a body in motion stays in motion. And a body in motion downhill, it takes a lot more energy to turn yourself back in a more healthy direction. But it's really important. Like, all I did finally after ruminating and all of that for a while, I was like, no, I am not going to, again, like, the personal responsibility, because I was thinking about all these external things that were the cause of my mood. And I thought, no, I'm not going to allow those things to let my life break down. So I just thought, well, what's the simplest thing that I can do right now to feel a little bit better? And I started smiling at people passing on the street.
Wow.
And when they smiled back, it felt good because we had that little exchange. And now that I think about it, that was like a little mini moment of support.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That is profound because I think sometimes we think we need to go out and, you know, do something huge, you know, to support our wellness. Like we have to go out and, you know, start going to the gym for an hour a day. But when you're like having a really hard time getting up off the couch, that is a ridiculous idea. To try to get her, well, maybe some people can do it, but most people have a really hard time taking that jump. So I think that what you just said about just trying to smile at someone, it can seem like that's a simple and kind of insignificant thing, but it is huge. It is so profound because I think it's those small things, and we don't realize how our small, small choices add up. It's like it really adds up. So you smile, and then the return from that ends up being pretty big. So when we start to do those tiny things, those tiny, tiny things, the more we do it, the more they add up. And that works negative, too. So mm-hmm. as we do negative things, eventually they'll impact our health, too. But I love that story. That's so amazing.
Yay. And I caught myself, I'm like saying, you, when you do this, when you do that, I'm like, no, we're talking about me. So, Jen, we have just a few minutes left in the show. Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Horrific is coming up next on CITR. Right now, we are speaking with Jen Cusick from Luminate Wellness. You can find her at luminatewellness.com. But I want to let people know, if they're interested in WRAP, there are free WRAP programs available in many communities. And then you also work with businesses. So can you quickly tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. A lot of health authorities in the Lower Mainland offer WRAP through their mental health centers. So that's a way to access it free. And I offer WRAP and other wellness-type workshops to businesses. So if anyone wants to contact me about that, my email address is jen@luminate, and it's L-U-M-I-N-A-T-E, wellness.com. Or I have a website as well. It's luminatewellness.com, and I would be happy to talk about how we could bring it to your workplace.
Cool. So thank you so much, Jen, for being on the show today. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you. And I loved hearing more about your story and more about what was her name again? The woman?
Oh, Pat Deegan.
Pat Deegan.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
One thing I should mention is WRAP was created by a woman named Mary Ellen Copeland.
Oh, yes.
And she is an amazing person, has an amazing story, very similar to Pat Deegan. It's very profound, and you can find out more about her on mentalhealthrecovery.com. That's her website. Amazing.
Wonderful. Well, we have just a couple of minutes, and I'm wondering, it's, again, Mental Health Week in Canada. The hashtag on social media is Mental Health Week and Get Loud. I think they're encouraging people to wear green.
Green.
I only have a couple green things.
Yeah.
So I'm wearing this little like fairy almost costume. I feel a little dorky, but I was like, I'm going to wear green. So, but do you have any last words about Mental Health Week in general?
I think the biggest reason behind Mental Health Week is to address the stigma that we still face. I think people are more and more aware of mental health and how it can affect anyone. But I think the main thing is to look at some of the judgments and things we may have about mental health and to try to break out of that and realize that it can happen to anyone. Anyone can struggle with mental health issues. And how can we support people in our lives who are struggling in a way that supports the things we've been talking about today? I think that's really huge, is to look at the stigma piece.
Mm-hmm. I know we could spend the whole hour talking about just that. maybe for another show.
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll let you get on with your day. I know that you are a busy mother and business owner. So thank you again for your time today. It was such a pleasure.
Thank you so much. I can't believe how fast that went by.
I know, so fast. Okay.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, Chris Horrific is up next with Parts Unknown. I want to send you lots of love, lots of self-compassion for yourself if you struggle with mental health challenges, and compassion for others. Lots of love. Be well.
Namaste.
Namaste.
Hey, did you know?
More than 4,500 Canadians are waiting for an organ transplant right now.
Right now. 4,500.
People are dying.
And you could save a life. 90% of Canadians say they're willing to donate their organs.
But only a few are registered.
So what are you waiting for? Get registered.
It's easy and it's free.
Leave a legacy. Be a hero.
Save a life.
Find out how to register today. Go to kidney.ca.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Like we thought.